Today is Saturday, the 21st of January, 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 66th session on Mindfulness for Beginners in now the English language. And we have representing Nisaramane Forest Monastery and participating in today's session, Venerable Banthe Homagama Dhamma Kusala Theru, participating into the session. And we also have others attending through Zoom and the Facebook live stream of the Satipasala Foundation. So on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome Venerable Banthe with much respect for today's program. And also I would like to welcome with much respect all of those of us who are joining through the Zoom and also through the Facebook live streaming. Now, our program will go on as starting off with the in-session mindfulness practice, and then we will move on to the Q&A session, and then we will go on to the talk on mindfulness with some space for verbal questions in between these, and also a small introduction to beginners who are commencing their mindfulness journey today. So with that, I would like to invite with much respect Venerable Banthe to commence with the in-session mindfulness practice for today. Over to Banthe, much merits.
Good day, everyone. So we will take some time, probably 15 to 20 minutes, trying to practice mindfulness. Today, we are going to do an exercise related to listening to your body. So this is something very valuable if you can practice it regularly. If you can do it regularly, it will give you very much valuable information about your body and what to do. So these things, usually we are fed with a lot of information. Our body is continuously feeding us information. Only if we know how to listen to it. That's the issue. Usually we are ignorant towards the body, towards the information that it is giving. So we'll try and listen to our body. We'll try to know the message from our body. We'll try to study what our body is saying. So initially, we will take some time to sit comfortably and notice what are the sensations that appear in your body. Close your eyes gently. Pay attention to your body and notice. Notice what are the sensations that are prominent. You are seated comfortably. You have your eyes closed. And you are observing your body to see the sensations, to notice the sensations that are prominent. Observe your body for a few more minutes, trying to notice the prominent sensations. Okay, now you can open your eyes again. To start today's activity or today's discussion, we can ask you to share what you felt. Now, probably like few minutes, you paid attention to your body. What are the observations you would like to share?
One day it was my stomach that was more prominent in this exercise. It was making some noise, so my attention quickly went to my stomach. Then I think it kept going from there to the breath. Probably the practice of breath being prominent, I keep noticing the breath, although nothing was happening with it. It just kept going to the breath and coming back to my stomach, and then I realized my shoulders were a little bit hunched, and then I slowly relaxed them, and that sort of went to that. And it kept going back to the breath every time, probably the practice that it's there, because there is nothing prominent happening with the breath, but it just keeps going there.
Yeah, that's probably because of the practice. Now, you trained yourself to observe the breath repetitively, so it's naturally go to the breath. That's fine. In addition, you notice the tightness in your shoulders, so that you took a precaution, right? You could correct yourself by relaxing your shoulders. So that's another valuable input. When we observe, when we pay attention to the body, this information come to us. Then we can decide what to do. You feel the sensations of your stomach, then the tightness of the shoulders. Some of you might feel some kind of a headache or some kind of pain, aches inside your body. So that's how we try to listen to our body. Anybody else would like to share something?
Yes, Pante. So it's Gihanta here. The most prominent sensations were my back. Resting on the back of the seat, my arms resting also on the place I'm seated, and the soles of my feet touching the ground. Those were the most prominent sensations. I was also feeling very comfortable. And then after a while, my thoughts went elsewhere. So I noticed the nature of the monkey mind. I didn't notice the breath. I got lost in thought or some incident. And then I came back to the resting position. That was my experience today.
Thanks, Gyant, for sharing. So that's what you observe when you pay attention to your body. In addition, I think Hiranti.
Thank you, Bante. I had to move from my seat because I have got a clock which is ticking, and my concentration was going there. So I moved to a small, a different place, and there I started watching. Then the breath came to my focus. So while I was watching the breath as if I'm meditating, then came thoughts. Thoughts came to my mind, things what I have to do. So I quickly realized it and went back to my breath again. So that was what was happening throughout the session.
Okay, so basically you observed the breath as bodily sensations. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Yes, Mihiri.
Avsaray Bante, yes. I noticed the places where the body was touching, like where the feet were touching the cushion. And I noticed the hands. I noticed itchy sensations. There was cold sensations running along the body. Right through the whole while I was doing it. And then there was like this little electric, like pins and needles and electric currents, like things running on, sometimes on the face, sometimes on the body. And then
my mind went to the mind went to the breath and then went back to the cold sensations. And then noted the hair touching the face. And then the eyelashes, I noticed the eyes, eyelids, the top eyelid closed on the lower eyelid. And again, hair on the ear. And that was it. So lots of different things.
Yeah, a lot of details you observe when you pay attention. Losh, thank you for sharing. Those are the information that we get. Now, today's topic or today's activity is listening to the body, because usually our body knows only if we are able to listen to it. Our body is giving us a lot of information only if we are listening to it. So that's the idea for today. And let me give some examples. Now, let's say during a busy work day, if you keep paying attention to your body, once in a while, probably after a few hours of work, your body might suggest that you need some water. You feel the thirst inside your body. Or your body might suggest that you are hungry. You feel the hunger inside your body. So if you have the ability to listen to the message the body is giving, you can do something about these things. Right? Then probably at times your body is asking for a bathroom break, but you are busy. You keep ignoring that message. But if you listen to your body, then you might take a small break and make sure that you are comfortable without working for hours and hours with difficulty. So these are messages that we get from our body. In addition, probably towards the end of a work day, your body might become really tired. You might feel tiredness inside your body. In addition, some of you might feel even headaches towards the end of the day. Then if you know how to listen to your body, you can take a small break or small nap. At least for a few minutes, you can take a nap and make sure that you are relaxed. So these are ways to listen to your body, right? These are a few examples that you can listen to your body. Then let's say after staring at a screen for hours and hours, what are the information that you'll get from your body if you listen to it? Any ideas? After staring at a screen for hours and hours, would you notice any difference in your body?
Yeah, you notice tiredness usually.
Tiredness, probably some kind of a headache. Yes, Gihanta.
Maybe sometimes you might feel you need some physical activity because you've been in the same place and you're feeling cramped and unproductive because you've just been in that same place. So you need to get up and give yourself some exercise.
Yeah, those are observations that we get. Those are details that we get from our body if we are listening to them. As you mentioned, after sitting for hours and hours, your body might suggest that you need some movement, right? You need some exercise. You need some fresh air. Only if you have the ability to listen to it, only if you know how to interpret this message. If you are staring at a screen, probably you'll feel the burning eyes. The eyes are burning. So that's a sign that you should take a break. Then after reading for hours and hours, after staring at a phone for hours and hours, you might feel that your neck is hurting. The body is suggesting that you should take a break from this activity. Or you might feel that your eyes are tired. The body is suggesting that you should take a break from this activity. So these are the information that we get from our body. But usually we are ignorant towards this information. So you have to develop the ability to listen to your body more and more. As Sonali mentioned, when you train yourself, your attention automatically goes to your body. Let it be breath, let it be something else. Your attention automatically goes to your body. That's the repetitive training that works. So if you train yourself to listen to your body more and more, then you will observe these details. You will observe these little details. You will observe these slight changes in your body due to various things, various activities, various incidents. You notice these changes inside your body. So that's a very good way to develop your mental health. You can listen to your body more and more. And even before falling ill with a sickness, before falling ill, probably like 3-4 days before, you might notice differences in your body. Initially, the chemical balance change inside your body. According to that change, you feel some differences. You feel that you don't have so much energy. You feel that you are running with a slight fever. Something like that you will observe. So if you know how to listen to your body, then probably you can take a break. Probably you can sleep a little bit longer. Probably you can take some kind of a herbal tea or something, just to make sure that you are taking some preventive measures to avoid the illness that's about to come, right? Once you fall sick, then of course you can't recover easily. Preventive measures you can take if you know how to listen to your body. In order to get this information, you should have, trained your mind to pay attention to your body more and more. When you train yourself, then only you will notice these details, these slight details. Any other examples that you have, the occasions that you can listen to your body more and more?
Bhante, I guess another time is when your body is unwell. So, for instance, you know, if you have a sore throat or, you know, if you're unwell, then the body gives signs that you have to take either some medication or get some rest or some type of treatment to help the body to recover.
Yes, when your body is not healthy, you get a lot of information from the body, so you can do something regarding it. In addition, probably we mentioned earlier as well, when you are lacking exercise, that too you can feel inside your body, right? There are signs that shows that you are lacking exercise. You need more exercise, you need more outdoor time, the body might suggest. In addition, signs of stress also manifest inside your body. Sometimes you feel like you are carrying a huge baggage. You feel that tension, you feel that difficulty inside your body if you pay attention. So those are the occasions that we can listen to our body. When you develop this ability, you will get more and more information. And with that information, you can do something. You can prevent a lot of things because you notice the early signs. Even emotional responses are there in the body. When you are excited, you have certain responses inside your body. When you are angry, you have certain responses inside your body. Stress also manifests inside your body. So these things are the information that you get. Only if you train your mind to listen to your body more and more. Only if you develop that ability to listen to your body. So as a starting part, you can observe more and more steps. You can observe more and more breaths. You can develop this ability. You can develop the skill to listen to your body more and more. And with time, you even notice slight changes inside your body. Slight chemical changes you can notice easily, and you can do something. You can prevent a lot of things. So that's today's activity, listening to your body. So I invite you to do this daily, every few hours, check in with your body, see what the body is saying, notice the information the body is giving. So that ability, if you develop, then it's a very much valuable ability or skill that you can develop. You can become healthy both in body and mind if you know how to listen to this information. So with that, I think, Namantha, we can move forward.
Yes, Bhante, and most thankful for Bhante's kind organizing of this approach to having a small discussion after the in-session practice. It is very useful to look at different ways of applying mindfulness like this. So as the next agenda item on our session, I would like to invite Sonali to commence the Q&A session. Over to Sonali. Thank you very much.
Avasarai Bhante. Thank you, Namantha. I will move on to the reports. There are three reports received today. I'll start with the first one. Walking meditation. Stood with eyes closed, noting the weight of body on both feet, aware mind was contemplating and constant change of object it was taking while standing. The cold sensation rippling through the body, pins and needles in hands, touch of clothes on parts of body, mind also remembering it is not a whole person but a collection of parts, hand is soft, watery, air, temperature, etc. Walk 25 steps on tiled floor, mind noting lifting, moving, placing, uneven surface of floor, temperature changes in different areas of the floor, thoughts came and went. Occasional proliferation, but watching mind now able to catch the thoughts much faster than before. After a while, mind noted lifting, moving, lowering, placing, pressing of each foot. Then it moved to noting empty sensation with each lifting movement and noted contact arising when parts of the foot touched floor and then disappearing when each part was lifted. Walked for 1 hour. Sitting meditation. After walking, sat mindfully to watch breath. The breath appeared in both nostrils initially and was more prominent on one side. A cold in-breath and slightly warmer out-breath noted. Breath became subtle, disappeared and reappeared. Continued to watch area where breath was prominent even when breath couldn't be felt. Cold sensation of body felt but stayed with breath. Sounds heard, not distracting. Thoughts were noted, but noted they were short with only occasional proliferation. Heard a loud noise on roof, distracted and opened eyes, but noted had two more minutes to go to the hour, so closed eyes and continued to watch breath. Daily mindfulness. Now aware when thoughts of greed, generosity, irritation, impatience arise. Caught being mindful, not saying something unnecessarily. And the next minute, not being mindful and saying something unnecessarily. Much more even in accepting of what in the past would have been things that worried and made the mind anxious. Recognizing the impermanence and lack of control over things, making the mind lighter and happier. The daily practice bringing contempt and happiness in evident despite the challenges in life. Gratitude prominent in mind. Trying to recognize the start and finish of some actions during the day when mind remembers to do so. More aware of feet in daily walking, not only when doing walking meditation.
End of report. Much gratitude to Bhante and the organizers.
Okay, thank you for sharing your experience. As you mentioned, now when you become more and more skilled at mindful walking and mindful sitting, you feel that although these thoughts come and go, you don't have to worry about them. They come, sometimes they last for a while, then they disappear. This is the process that's happening. And when you have confidence in your practice, when you have that ability, then you don't worry about the thoughts. Allow them to come and go naturally, and your mindfulness is strong. When your mindfulness is strong, you don't have to worry about these thoughts. Sometimes they stay for a while. They keep telling some kind of a story. They try to last for a while. That's fine. Allow it to be. And naturally, they disappear. This is the process that will happen. More and more the mindfulness is strong, weaker and weaker, these thoughts, these emotions become. So that's the idea of the repetitive practice. That's how it will grow. And you can even feel, even during the day-to-day activities, sometimes you are naturally mindful. And at those occasions, you don't even try to force it. There's no intention to be mindful, but you notice that your body is naturally with these sensations. So that's the advantage of repetitive practice. When you train your mind again and again, naturally it is accepting the present moment. So that's a very valuable progress that we make. Usually our mind, it doesn't like the present moment. The present moment is boring to our mind. Boredom is there in the present moment. It finds interest either in the past or the future. That is the usual way of an untrained mind. But when you train your mind more and more, you realize naturally the mind is accepting the present moment more and more. Even without intention, without trying to be present, your mind is naturally present. And when it accepts the present moment more and more, you realize that the stress is reducing significantly. Stress is coming either from the past or the future, worrying about the things that happened or worrying about the things that will happen. So when your mind is accepting the present moment, you realize that your stress is reducing significantly. So that's the progress that you'll notice. And sometimes you lose your mindfulness. That's also natural. That's also natural because although you try, at times you say something inappropriate. At times you react rather to respond. So these things happen. It is natural, and we forgive ourselves for the sake of humanity. We know that we are not perfect. We know that we can't be 100% accurate. Always we make faults. Always we make mistakes. That's fine. Again and again you try. You know what to do. You can try again and again. And when you try, with time, you realize now you don't make that fault anymore. Probably after a few months of practice, you realize now you don't to make that fault anymore. Even after a few years of practice, you might have a few more things that you should correct. Again and again, you observe. Again and again, you do this process. That is how we can really grow this practice. Don't worry about those things happen. It's natural that we make mistakes. Sometimes we are not mindful and we say inappropriate things or we react in a certain way that we shouldn't. That's fine. You know that it is inappropriate. You know that you shouldn't have reacted this way. That observation is enough. Next day, another opportunity. Next day, another opportunity for you to correct yourself. In this practice, we get 1001 chances. It says that night doesn't end with a single dream. That statement is correct both scientifically as well as philosophically. So here we take the philosophical meaning. You get multiple chances. Every morning, every day is another chance to correct yourself, to practice more and more. Probably you make few mistakes towards the end of the day. That's fine. Tomorrow is also another day, another chance. So when you have that attitude, when you train yourself more and more, you realize every moment, every activity, every day is afresh. And it's another chance that you get. And you can correct yourself. So that's how we should be approaching. And I want to mention one more thing. Now, although we try to be mindful, although we try to behave ourselves, we are not, in a way, we are not creating more and more stress due to this. Now, some people, they prevent reacting and they gather a lot of baggage due to that act, right? Sometimes you feel hurt due to other people. Sometimes you feel like shouting at other people. So with mindfulness, we try to, you know, behave. We try to prevent those actions. Of course, we try to prevent the reacting, but in a way, probably after few hours, after some time, you can give a response. You shouldn't create stress due to the practice. And if you keep creating that type of a stress, then with time, you realize suddenly everything crashes. You have been behaving very well and suddenly everything crashes. You do a whole, you create a whole mess. So you have to make sure, although we try not to react, we try to respond more and more. If you are hurt, instead of reacting, later after a few days, after a few hours, you can tell them nicely that you did this. And I was hurt due to it. You said this and I was hurt due to that. That way of communication is healthy. Otherwise, we are creating a baggage inside us. We prevent doing these things. We prevent reacting. We behave not to talk. We behave not to act. That's not the way. That will lead you towards more and more stress, more and more baggage. So you have to make sure that you are mindful. You are not doing something inappropriate. You are not doing something that you will regret later. But after a few hours, few days, you can give a feedback to them. You can give a response and tell them that you did this. I didn't like, or you said this, I felt hurt, or you're asking so many things from me, I can't do. So that type of a healthy communication should be there. Otherwise, we are creating stress, probably due to the practice even. That shouldn't be the case. Instead, we try to release it more and more in a healthy way. not in an unhealthy way. In a healthy way, we try to release it more and more. That should be the way. Otherwise, due to the practice, people might create a lot of stress. People might create a lot of baggage due to it. That shouldn't be the way. You are preventing yourself from reacting, but you respond later. You tell them that you didn't like the activity that they have done. You tell them in a healthy way. So that should be the way forward. Make sure that you are not creating a baggage due to the practice.
Thank you, Bhante. That was very useful for myself as well. I have created, kept baggage like that sometimes. The next report. Mindful sitting. Breath as primary object. Sat on the cushion and gently closed the eyes. Body scan took place, starting from toes towards head, then down towards toes again. Breath appeared soon after, which was felt around the upper lip area, and it was prominent. Mind stayed with the sensation of airflow near the nostrils for a while. Noted the mind's involvement with thoughts, and almost immediately the attention returned to the sensation of breath. Few sounds were noted, after which the awareness returned to breath. Breath was subtle now, and attention moved towards rising and falling of stomach, which was more prominent. Recent difficult event emerged vividly next. The urge to form a story was so acute that the associated quickening of the heartbeat noted. Tried to get rid of the event from the mind, but failed. Gave up the fight and let go. After a few minutes, the prominent breath felt again. Sat for 50 minutes, although wanted to sit for an hour, ended the session 10 minutes early due to eyes opening. Mindfulness during the day. There was less mindfulness in the past few days. It felt like control freak in the mind had taken the center stage and refusing to leave. There has been a lot of anger and frustration in the mind towards a relative last week. Found it hard to disengage from this inner conflict. The judgments in the mind were so vivid. For example, there are manipulative, interfering, unreasonable, and disgraceful. Why can't they mind their own business and leave me alone? Although a part of the mind was well aware of and watching this unfolding drama. The associated emotions were running riot, culminating in verbal conflict with the relative. After the event, there was so much shame and fear in the mind of all the unwholesome karma occurred. Regret about not taking time to calm down, could have avoided answering the phone, could have put a big piece of plaster on the mouth. Now that's too late. There's a bit of confusion in the mind in these situations. It seems like anger and frustration and finding fault with others seem to have increased a lot. With the increase of regular sitting and walking sessions, noted the expectation of wanting to feel less anger because formal practice is part of the day. Perhaps this is a wrong view. Mind was much more regulated at the point of writing this report, but so aware of the preference for good feelings and dislike for bad ones. Dear Bhante, look forward to your feedback. Much merit to Bhante and the organizers. End of report.
Okay, thank you for sharing experience, somewhat related to our earlier discussion as well. So when you practice mindfulness, in a way, especially outsiders, they expect us to be like robots, right? Now you are meditating, now you are practicing, and you shouldn't be behaving like this. You shouldn't be doing things like this. They will come and give us their opinion, right? So that is natural. When you meditate, when you practice, that's how the outside people will view you, will see you, right? So, but when we practice, we become more and more human. Now, when you are aware, you notice a lot of details in the present moment. Sometimes it is natural that you notice even the faults from other people more and more because you are aware. If you are ignorant, of course, then you are lost in your mind. You don't notice the majority of things. But when you are aware, you notice your emotions. You notice your faults. In addition, easily we notice the faults from other people as well. Naturally, we get this energy to correct themselves. Naturally, we get this energy to go after themselves, right? So that's how sensitive we become with the practice. So we become more and more human. We experience more and more emotions. We experience more and more thoughts. We experience more and more details from the surrounding. So that very awareness is what we are talking about. It's not about becoming a zombie. It's not about becoming ignorant. Instead, we are aware. And when we are aware, it's natural that we notice more and more details. It's natural that we find more and more faults with ourselves as well as other people, right? So then you should practice patience more and more. You should be observing yourself more and more. That's the advice we give usually for a practitioner, that you shouldn't be going after other people. Instead, observe your mind more and more. Observe the reaction inside your mind due to the actions of other people. Observe the reaction that you feel when you notice the faults from other people. That very observation, we can continue. And when we do this practice, your type of statements are natural. Now you feel these emotions, you feel the anger, you feel the frustration due to these actions from other people, you feel the friction, right? So that observation is a good thing. Although you feel it is out of control, the observation is a good thing. Now earlier you mentioned that while during the sitting session, recent difficult events, thoughts about them appear inside your mind. Now, initially you try to get rid of these thoughts. That's what you has done, right? Initially you try to get rid of these thoughts, emotions. But towards the middle part of your statement, you mentioned that you gave up trying to get rid of these thoughts, emotions. You mentioned that you gave up trying to get rid of the thoughts, emotions. So that's the way to have control in your meditation. The way to have control is to give up the controlling. That's what you have to do. Let the thoughts be there. Let the emotions be there. When you give up trying to control them, then naturally, after staying for a while, they disappear. That's what you mentioned in your statement. After giving up, few minutes later, you started to observe the breath again. So in a way, the way to have control over these things is to give up the control or give up the controlling, right? So when you give up, then naturally they will follow their nature. After a while, they will disappear, these thoughts, emotions. So that's how you should be behaving more and more. Don't try to get rid of these things. Instead, be with them, accept them, allow them to be. Then when you accept, naturally, they will disappear after a while. Same goes for a sickness in your body. When you are sick, you want to get better. That's the only thing you need. It says that a healthy person needs 1,001 things, but a sick person only needs one thing, to get better. That's all you need, right? So when you are sick, you have this thought, you have this wanting to get better. But when we think about the practice, the way to get better is to accept the sickness. Allow it to be. Let the body heal itself instead of trying to control it, instead of trying to get better. And when you accept the illness, that's the way towards becoming better. As soon as you accept the illness, then your body is healing. Similarly, as soon as you accept these emotions, thoughts, then you start to heal yourself. You start to recover. So that's the idea. That's the way of the practice. Then you mentioned that these conflicts with the relatives that you have, with these close friends or somebody. So you have to, in a way, you have to make sure that you are not too emotional dealing with these people. If you are too emotional, better not to react, better not to face them, better not to talk to them. You have to allow your mind to recover first. That's the most important thing, right? You allow your mind to recover from these emotional states. That's why they say, instead of talking, instead of trying to solve these problems, when you are hurt, it's better to take a break. Go for a walk. Walk for 1 hour and come back. Or go for a break. Have a snack or a cup of coffee. And after a few hours, you can return, right? So that time is allowing your mind to recover from being emotional. If you don't allow that time, of course, then you are going to do things that you are going to regret. You'll do things that you are going to regret. And after a while, you feel shame about the way you reacted. These things are natural, right? So it's better to avoid contact if you are too emotional. Let it be a friend. Let it be a family member. Let it be a relative. If you are dealing with them when you are too emotional, then you might say things that you might regret later. You might be shameful about the way you reacted. So being emotional, it's better to avoid contact. That's why even, you know, using WhatsApp, there are certain options. Even smartphones, they have certain options. These things are called mental health options, I guess, right? So you can mute certain people. When they are muted, you don't get their messages, right? Then the various options are there. Various options are there. So you just allow the time to go. Allow your mind to recover first. Then, of course, you can respond instead of reacting. So that's our earlier discussion. We were talking about responding more and more. We try to prevent reacting, but later we give a healthy feedback. That's probably not for the benefit of the other people, more towards the benefit of yourself. You are releasing your baggage, giving them a healthy feedback, right? In a healthy way, you tell them that you are hurt due to this. So that type of approach we have to take. You can avoid contact when you're hurt. You can avoid contact when you're emotional. Otherwise, you may make things even worse, right? So that way, gradually, we develop this ability. I am not suggesting that we can become a zombie or some kind of a numb person with the practice. Instead, we are more and more sensitive. We feel things more and more. You feel your emotions, you feel your thoughts, you notice the surrounding. That very awareness is what we are developing. So with that awareness, it's natural that sometimes you feel hurt. Sometimes you feel these emotions. When they come, we have to develop that ability. We have to develop the skill how to deal with these emotions, how to navigate these difficult situations. So that will come with practice, with time. You will develop this ability. So continue to practice. Continue sharing your experience with us.
Thank you very much, Bhante. I will read, go to the next report. Sat for 40 minutes on bed, feet touching the ground, felt the cold tiles underfoot. I cannot normally discern my breath or nostrils, so I focused on my breath initially, through the stomach going in and out. Later moved on to the heavy chest cavity and sensations at back of nose cavity as I breathe in and out. Very few external noises, but they were not too distracting. I could focus back on breath immediately afterwards. There was pain in the middle back in the beginning. Ignored to focus on breath. Later observed it had gone away to be replaced by a pain in lower back again. That too went away after a while. My body was tending to lean forward with back arching forwards. Shoulders relaxed and tension went away. It was only when I realized there was any tension, there was a few disturbances, including getting up to let the dog in and out of the room, I could get back to breath immediately. Strangely, despite noise disturbances, I kept going till the set time was up. In contrast, I had tried mindful sitting earlier in the day from 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. when everything was quiet and I still failed to get any focus. Tried and tried had and failed each time. This happened a few times, making me quite upset because it was strange. I had never had such a thing happen because I find it easy to focus normally and am not easily distracted. I have no explanation for it either. This time, I was glad things were back to normal. Mindfulness sitting in the morning. There were a few disturbances from others. Still sitting and took quite a while. Focused on breath. Felt hardness of the surface. Back was straight. I felt sleepy at times. Took several deep breaths to overcome sleepiness and focus on breath as it settled to a normal pace. I will continue mindful sitting sessions and will report on my experiences going forward. I'm grateful for your guidance offered through this program. That's the end of report. It does look like it was different days that she was reporting on, Bhante. That's what I was trying to figure out. Different experiences on different days.
Right. Okay. Thanks. Yes. Now, this is useful even for a beginner, right? So now, when you share your experience like this, it's useful for the entire audience. That's why we invite you to share your experience more and more. Especially if you are a beginner, you should be practicing and you should be sharing your experience. At least every other week, you can share your experience. And we recommend daily practices. What is the practice that we are recommending? Probably like 15, 20 minutes of sitting daily you can do. And 15, 20 minutes of mindful walking daily you can do. This is the beginning. This is the starting part of the practice. Gradually you can increase the time and gradually you can try the day-to-day mindfulness as well. while doing various activities, your daily activities, trying to be mindful. So we start with the sitting and walking. We try to do at least 20 minutes of walking, 20 minutes of sitting daily. That's the start point. And you can increase the time. Ideally, if you can do 1 hour of sitting, 1 hour of walking, that's ideal, right? So that type of contribution you have to do towards the practice. Gradually, you try to make it a part of your daily schedule. And when you practice, these type of questions are natural. These type of experiences are natural. So we are glad that you shared your experience, and we are glad that you plan to share your experience more and more, right? So that's how you can grow in your practice. That's how you can develop your practice. Now, when I hear your report, initially you mentioned that there are noise disturbances, right? So I made a note about that. Then gradually, towards the end of the report, you mentioned that you felt that although the noises are not there, still you can't keep your mind concentrated. So those both remarks, they are connected to each other. So it's valuable that we discuss your experience. It's valuable that we give you proper guidance, right? So here, what we are practicing, it's not concentration. It's the mindfulness that we are practicing. Mindfulness is the ability to be aware. When you walk, when your body is walking, you feel that your body is walking. That very awareness is what we are practicing. Then when you hear sounds, you have the ability to know that you are hearing these sounds. When you get thoughts, emotions, you have the ability to be mindful that you are getting these thoughts, emotions. So we say mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of sounds, mindfulness of thoughts and emotions, right? So they go under mindfulness. These are various subcategories under the practice of mindfulness. So what we are practicing is mindfulness, right? So when you start your statement mentioning that noises are disturbing you, as soon as you mention that, I can see that there is some kind of a confusion. Of course, a beginner, they feel like the noises are disturbing them. They feel like they should go to a room that is noise-proof, right? That's how you start. But gradually you realize the noises are also a part of the present moment. The thoughts and emotions are also a part of the present moment. Among these things, you are developing the skill to be aware. Among these things, you are developing the skill to be aware that you are sitting or you are breathing. Among these things, you are developing the skill to be aware that you are walking. That is the practice. So among all these things, we know that we are walking. Among all these things, we know that we are sitting or breathing. That type of attitude you should have towards the practice. So allow these sounds to be and just sit and see how you can notice your breath or the seated body more and more during the sitting time. The sounds are there. The thoughts are there, but you develop this skill to observe your breath more and more. Among these things, you are not trying to get rid of these things. Instead, allowing them to be, you try to observe, you try to be more skillful observing your breath. When we walk, we even have our eyes open. So you see things, you hear sounds, then your body is moving. among all these things, you try to be skillful to observe your body more and more. So that is the practice. Otherwise, you realize even without sounds, you can't really concentrate. This is the very nature of your mind. When the sounds are there, the mind is saying because of the sounds, you can't practice, you can't meditate. When the sounds are not there, still you can't meditate. Now you can't figure out a reason. The environment is peaceful, but your mind is not peaceful. So this is the nature of our mind. With the light of mindfulness, we try to notice these things. Now this statement you have made due to the practice. Only through the observation you notice these things. So in a way, I am just pointing information from your own report. You have the answer in your own report. I'm just pointing towards those information. So when you observe, you can figure out the answer yourself. When you have the mindfulness, you can figure out the answer yourself. That's why you are saying the noises are disturbing. Then towards the latter part of your report, you are mentioning, even though the noises are not there, still you can't concentrate. Still your mind is not at peace. So you have to practice again and again. Try to see what is the proper practice. Let the sounds be, let the thoughts, emotions be. Among these things, you try to be skillful to observe more and more breath cycles. Among these things, you try to be skillful to observe more and more steps. That's what we are going to do, right? So try, experiment with your practice again and again, and share your experience again. Then we can discuss further.
Thank you, Bhante. That's the end of reports. So we will move on to questions now. If anyone has a question, please raise your Zoom hands and I will let you unmute yourself and ask the question. We will give a few minutes. I can't see any hands raised. If you don't mind, Bhante, I will share one of my experiences. It's very related to what we've been discussing. I have had a bit of a disheartening conversation with one of my friends a few weeks ago, this was, and then for a week or so, I couldn't concentrate. Not so much when I'm doing formal meditation, but other times it just keeps popping into my mind and out. Although it was clearly the other person has moved on from it. I had not moved on from it. We made contact after that and it was all moved on. I can see there is nothing in the other person, but I am still suffering inside. And I knew this was going to be not easy to get rid of this thought. It will keep coming back to me. I knew I shouldn't be. I knew it is temporary. I knew it will pass away, but it still kept coming back to me. The only reason why it completely left my mind was because I actually had a fall, a physical fall, and then I had a little wound in my leg that kept throbbing the whole time. And that, as we said, the body sensation completely forgot my other feelings towards this disheartening event. And throughout the day, I kept only feeling the wound that I had. So the body kept forgetting everything the mind was creating and literally just took me back to the wound. And every time I was quite aware, very present, present and focused on the body from then on. It was easy for me to forget the event after that and clearly move on after that as well. So I thought I'll share that. And I saw the whole thing unfold and how troubling it was and how easy it was since the body brought me back to the body, and it was easy for me to concentrate back.
That's why we say it is much easier to deal with the physical pain than the emotional pain, right? When the physical pain is there, of course, we try to get rid of it. Of course, we don't like it. Emotional pain is much worse, right? When we have emotional pain, it's difficult to recover from these things. It's again and again, it keeps coming back. Again and again, these thoughts, emotions appear, these difficult incidents, the memories come, right? So in a way, when we have attachment towards other people, or when we have attachment towards other things, then that's the source of suffering, right? Due to these attachments, you expect them to behave in a certain way. You expect these things to last in a certain way. The source is attachment, and as a result, we will get suffering. So that's why, although we call them friends, although we call them family, although we call them relatives, they are the source of suffering. Unknown people, they won't bring us suffering. Unknown things, they won't bring us suffering. It's only the known people, closer they are, greater suffering they will bring. So that's how it is. That's the truth, right? And when you feel it, when you know, when you experience it, then you realize due to this connection, due to this strong bond, you create suffering. And it is difficult to recover from these emotions, from these thoughts. Let's say somebody unknown, you had the same incident with that person, it will be forgotten within a day or two. It will be gone. You don't have to suffer trying to get rid of these thoughts, emotions. That's how it is, right? Closer they are, greater the pain, the suffering will be. So the idea is not to get rid of these people. Idea is not to get rid of these things. Instead, observe the pain again and again. Observe the chaos these incidents create in our mind again and again. That observation will liberate you. That observation will make you free, right? So you are also sharing that observation. You can feel how hard it is to recover. Maybe other person, they move on much easier, but you can't do it. If you can't do it, then of course you shouldn't be pretending, right? Instead, you can't recover. So even some time back, a certain incident happened. So I told that person probably will be forgiving by tomorrow. But I can't recover like that. Maybe it'll take weeks, months for me to recover, right? Because it depends on various people. It depends on their connection, their emotional bond, right? So some, maybe other person can recover faster. Maybe they don't feel guilty about the thing they have done, right? But other person might take few months, few years even to recover. So that's natural. You take time to recover from that incident. Although you try to move on, I don't think that is successful. Naturally it will go away. Initially, the incident will be forgotten. Then it is forgiven, right? When the incident is forgotten, it is automatically forgiven. As long as you remember, as long as it creates suffering in your mind, you are not ready to let go. So that's why they say letting go is a natural process. You can't force it. Only thing you can do is accept that these emotions are, and thoughts are there. Accept that you are hurt. That's what you can do. With that acceptance, it's easier to let go. Or it's easier to facilitate the letting go process. If you try keep forcing these emotions, thoughts out, if you try suppressing them, if you try moving on, then that's not the way. You have to accept these emotions, thoughts. You have to accept that you are hurt. In a way, it's better to tell them even, probably instead of reacting, you can respond and tell them that you are hurt. Probably it's better not to talk for a few days. Something like that, right? Something like that you can tell them. And then they know. And you accept. You know that these thoughts and emotions are there. You know that you are hurt. That acceptance will allow you to allow or facilitate the process of letting go. Letting go is not intentional. It is natural. That's why you say, due to the physical illness, you recovered, right? So due to the physical illness, you gave up that initial thing. And naturally, the letting go happened. That very acceptance is the way. When you are hurt, accept that you are hurt. When you can't let go, accept that you can't let go. That very acceptance will allow or facilitate the process of letting go. So these are very much valuable experiences. When we have such experiences, then we realize the proper way of practice. And then we realize the suffering created by these close people to our lives. Let them be family or let them be friends. They are the greatest source of suffering, not the other people. Even the things that we own, they are a great source of suffering, not the things that we don't own, right? So these are good observations. The idea is not to get rid of them. Instead, observe how they create suffering again and again. Observe this difficulty. This is the process.
We have another couple of questions. Buddhika has put their hand up. Would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you very much. Respected Bhante Avasarai, I think this is relevant to the meditation, my practice. I will try my best to formulate this question. It's a bit unclear in my head. Quite recently, probably 2 weeks, 3 weeks now, I noticed that I'm very indifferent towards the lot of situations, like if someone complains, this happened, or a child or maybe friend. I see it as this is a process, and this will change. It doesn't sound very good. If I talk to one of my children like that, it doesn't sound good. That I come across as very unempathetic person, or very indifferent, or that way. So I'm kind of this kind of bothers me in digital life. Sometimes I pretend to sit down and probably talk through it, but I see it is useless. Only thing I know in this whole situation is I know this also will pass by and it will change, because I am a very sensitive person. I am very emotional as well. So all of a sudden I have become like, it's like a rock. It doesn't affect me, or I can see through it. I thought I could, I don't know how to put this more in words. I thought I will ask for some advice, Bhante, whether I need to. It does disturb me to some point, because it's not acceptable to not to feel anything when somebody is in trouble. So would be really grateful if I can get some advice. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, and I can understand the problem that you are facing, right? Similar type of a problem usually the monks are also facing, or usually the practitioners are facing. right? So first we have to ask whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. Indifference, or not, your mind is not moving. It's not moved due to these incidents, situations. You have to ask whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. This is the way towards lasting peace, right? That's why they say, whatever that comes, this too shall pass. You just give it some time and see, within days, within hours, within few weeks, these things will disappear, right? So the practitioner, they have that attitude in their mind. That attitude is developed in their mind. And you can see that you are not moved by these things. You know that it will too go away. You know that you just have to give it some time. You know that you don't have to worry so much trying to solve it. And so just let it be, and naturally it will go away. So as you mentioned, the world doesn't approve. That's the issue. Usually the children, let's say children, they expect you to care. They expect you to cry. Or the friends, family, they expect you to, you know, behave in a certain way. So the world doesn't approve. That's why most of the people, they don't like meditation. That's the same reason, right? They want to become worldly. They want to cry with the world. They want to laugh with the world. They want to move with the world. But the practitioner, although the world is crying, practitioner is not crying. Although the world is laughing, practitioner is not laughing. Although the world is moving, practitioner is not moved by the world. So that's the source of lasting peace. That's how you can figure out, that's how you can find lasting peace in your mind. So in a way, sometimes you pretend. Sometimes you pretend to care, right? Sometimes in a way you feel like you're acting. You are giving them some time. You are crying with them. In a way, you pretend, right? So that's another part. You know that you are dealing with a child. And due to that, you behave in a certain way. You know that you should at least listen to this person. So you keep listening. So that's how you keep practicing. In a way, sometimes you are pretending, and sometimes, although you know, you worry with them. Right? But the way towards peace is what we are concerned about. Way towards peace is, this is the path. Although the world is crying, your mind is not crying. Although the world is laughing, your mind is not laughing. Although the world is moved, your mind is not moved. This is the way towards lasting peace. So being emotional, of course, what's the direction it'll take us? If you are an emotional person, you know what it will create. You know how much you have suffered. Recently, I met somebody, a drug addict. That person was saying that most of the drug addicts, Bante, they are very sensitive people. Because they couldn't bear the world, because they couldn't bear the problems, difficulties that they faced, they created these habits. That's why they are addicted to drug, because they are very sensitive. They can't really bear these type of difficulties, emotions, the troubles the world is creating. So you know, being emotional, the result of it, you know, right? So that's why we practice. We try to keep our mind at peace. Although the world is crying, we try to have unmoved mind. Although the world is moving, our mind is not moved. That is the practice. This indifference is the source. This indifference is the way towards peace. Sometimes, although you know that you are not moved, you can pretend. You can listen to that person. You can give them some time. You can give them some advice. That's the way. That's how you can gradually develop this practice. So you have to tell yourself that this is a good thing. This is the source of lasting peace. So continue with the practice. Time to time it will change. These things go through phases. Probably again you become emotional for a few months. Again you become indifferent for a few months. That's how it will go. But gradually the trend is towards peace. The trend is towards lasting peace. The unmoved mind. That's the source of lasting peace. So continue, and we are happy that you shared your experience. It's very valuable, and continue practicing. And with time, you'll become more and more indifferent in your mind.
Thank you, Bhante. There are two more hands. Samantha, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you, Sonali. Thank you, Bhante. Want to clarify, Bhante, when you said it's important to accept the emotion at the beginning, I was just wondering, because sometimes if the emotion lingers, it prolongs the suffering whilst you're accepting it, and you can be stuck in that emotion. So there were two scenarios. I was wondering what Bhante was trying to say is, like, if you see the emotion, and hopefully if it's a quick emotion, you can see the ending of that emotion, and then your mind would then be sort of getting, you're telling the mind, conditioning the mind that this emotion is going to end. And so you no longer would react, and the suffering would eventually, you would get dispassionate about any emotions eventually, because knowing that it's going to end. Or secondly, and the other way is that if it's a long emotion, would it be helpful to reason out in your mind, and then sort of like replace it with a wholesome, like in the four efforts, it says that if you get a bad thought or something, you would replace it with a wholesome thought. And then there's also another scenario where it's like taking a nail out, with a thing, slowly taking out your defilements and working at it like that. I'm just wondering whether those sort of techniques, whether you should do them, or you just sort of like what Bhante meant by you just accept the emotions. That was my question.
Yeah, if they are short emotional things, then you don't have to really do anything about it, right? Just let them be. And within few minutes, within few hours, they vanish, right? So the earlier discussion was regarding the long-lasting ones. The close friends, close family, when something happens, you suffer even for weeks and months. That's how usually you deal with these things. So in a way, it's okay to reason out, and think about these things and figure out that because of this happened, something like that, right? It's okay to reason out. But although you wish to get rid of these emotions, it's not happening. That's the issue, right? Although you reason out, these emotions, they are here to stay, it feels like. Then only what is the solution, right? All those things that you mentioned, they are valid. But now you were mentioning about four efforts. What is the greatest type of effort? If you accept the emotion and let it be, that's the greatest type of effort. usually it is easier to reason out. Usually it is easier to get rid of or suppress, right? But accepting the emotion, that needs a lot of effort, a lot of courage. That effort, that courage, most people, they don't have. So that's why these techniques are also valid. But towards the end, or toward when you practice more and more, you realize you just have to let them be. And letting them be, that needs a lot of effort. And that's the best way, right, to deal with these emotions, thoughts. You are angry. You know that you're angry. With that anger, you just let it be and probably do some exercise. Get rid of that energy, right? Just be with that anger. Let's say you are sad. You know that you are sad. Just go somewhere. Just walk for a while. And it's okay to be sad. It's okay to feel these emotions. That very practice is we are recommending. Gradually you can figure it out. Of course, these techniques are valid. But you realize suppressing, reasoning out, they are not lasting solutions. That's the issue.
So if you say to accept the emotions, because I had seen from experience, like once your emotions, and then after a while, if you distract it by doing another task or something, then that emotion's already gone. So are you sort of like feeding your mind, you're training your mind that this is always changing, so then the mind will now, next time, will be easier to react, and it won't be taking any emotions, won't be sort of like affecting the mind, conditioning the mind in a very strong way. It'll lessen it. Is that what will happen eventually?
Yeah, in a way we are training our mind, but although you can distract yourself with some other task, I mentioned exercising, I mentioned going for a walk, but if emotions are long lasting, it just helps for a while, but it'll be there, right? Although you go for a walk, it'll be there. Although you do some exercising, it'll be there. Right, it's we can call it a healthy distraction. In a way, we learn the art of being with these emotions. We learn how not to focus only on the emotions and let them be there in the background and try to do something healthy. So these things are gradually you can develop, gradually you can try. But all these techniques are valid. Try for yourself and see what are the things that works for you.
Thank you, Bhante. I'll give that a go. Thank you. That's helpful.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you, Samantha. Bhante, we have one more question. Would it be all right? Because I know I'm conscious of the time that we've gone over. We'll allow one more question.
That's fine. We can take a few more minutes and finish with the questions.
Right. Thank you, Bhante. The person logging in via the iPhone, would you like to unmute yourself and ask the question? I don't know your name, but there is a hand raised with a person logging in via an iPhone. Would you like to ask your question? Or is that the hand raised by mistake? I'm not sure.
I think it is raised by mistake. Okay.
Okay. We will end the session then. Over to you now, Mantha.
Thank you, Sonali, and thank you, Bhante, and much merits to both Bhante and Sonali. So I would move on to close the program as we are slightly over time, and we would not be having the talk for today's session because we had an extended Q&A session. I will just share the screen for any beginner to become familiar with the commencement of practice. So you can see the five points listed there. There are two links in the point number one. These are for YouTube videos for the mindful walking and mindful sitting sessions. Once you go through them, you will get a firm idea of what to do on each type of session, what to focus about and everything. And then you can allocate few minutes daily for each session. We would recommend something like 20 minutes per session. And then once you get to be familiar with these practices, you can start writing your reports. You can write about what was the primary object of focus, whether it was the sole of your feet touching the floor when you were walking mindfully, and whether it was the breath moving in and out, or the abdomen rising and falling when you were doing the mindful sitting session. Further to that, you can describe about the difficulties that arose during each session, whether it was thoughts or surrounding noises or other things that disturbed your mindfulness practice by taking your focus away from the primary object. And you can also describe how you felt the primary focus returned to the object selected when your mind happened to drifted away from the object. So with this, you can write this in your own words, and as a sample, you have seen today's reports presented during session, and you can follow that style. Then you can email the document to the email beginnersnv@gmail.com or the Google form listed there. These are already in the Zoom chat section, and previous session recordings are available on the link in item 5 there. And I will stop sharing the screen. Now, I'm going to wrap up the session. I would like to thank Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for representing Nisaranam 1A for us monastery, and wish all the merit from this great task. We'll go on to improve Bhante's own practice as a net result. And I would also like to share merits with Most Venerable Bhante Udayagama Dhamma Jiva Mahathero, the Chief Abbot of the Nisaranam 1A for us monastery, for insightfully requesting this program to be, so that benefits of this nature will arise from this program to all of us. And I would also like to thank all the organizers who are working hard to sustain the quality and also to spread the message of this program to others. Thank you, and I share merits with all of you, so that and wish that your own practices will enhance with the power of this merit. Furthermore, I would like to thank all those of you who are participating in the Zoom session and also participating for the session through this Facebook live stream. It is because of your participation that there is a justifiable reason and cause for the program to run in a continued manner like this. With that, I would like to end the Zoom session, and I wish you all a mindful and happy week ahead, and invite you to join the same session, same time, next Saturday, next week. Till that, have a mindful week ahead. Thank you.